I raised an issue and I tack, I hit the nail on the head. Okay, today is Sunday, October 28th, 2012, and I'm glad to see the retirees entering because I'm beginning this year with a topic that all of you have looked into and I finally have solved it and really not solved it. Let me say good afternoon to all the wonderful Jews sitting in front of me, or good evening. And to all those listening, and I extend my sympathies to all those on the East Coast. Everyone is in a panic there, and no planes, no buses, no trains. Come to Jerusalem, and we even have a light rail for you in addition to the buses. Now, first of all, I want to tell you I had a lot of nachat. This is probably the best weekly given out. There are hundreds of weeklies today. You have Everyone gives out the Haredim, not Haredim, half Haredim, Datiyim, Sioniyim, everyone gives out a Shabbos, and this is probably the best. This is one of the older ones. Almost 1,500 have been given out already, 1,500 Shabbatot. And there's an article here by someone I greatly respect. He has an article almost every week, Rabbi Yisrael Rosen, the head of Tzomet. So this article is on Mitzitza B'Peh, and I have to tell you, it's word by word what I said in class. So I'm very happy to know that I have strong support from Rav Yisrael Rosen and my position. But why, you know, Kol Korei Bamidbar. But if I be a member, if anyone here is a member of Agudat Yisrael in America, which is an organization I greatly respect, if you've studied my Washington, you'll understand it. I would resign my membership in protest and ask for part of my money back, whatever the dues are for the year, prorate it, that you don't believe we have to be frumma than Rav Yashiv, than Rav Chaim Briska, than the Chatam Sofa. And we don't have to be reitzchen and endanger little Jewish boys. And you know what I'm talking about. It's frightening. So when you vote here, please don't vote for Agudat Yisrael. Take my word for it. Now, don't worry about Litzman here. He's harmless. He's harmless. Relax yourself. Elections are coming, and Hashem Yerachem, what, everyone is from. I never saw an election like this. That Lapid, who we all wrote off as an Eiswaff, a Trumpenik, a Sheikh, it's Rakepid, said terrible things about him from pictures he saw of him. And his second in command is Rabbi Shai Piron. So we're in Mashiach Zeit. And Chayamovich, where she wants a Shabbos microphone, you should make a Shechianu. We live to see the day that every party in Israel claims they're religious. I haven't heard one word against religion, and I haven't heard one word about Chok Tal. You know who's going to decide Chok Tal? The people who run the country and are not elected. It'll go to the Supreme Court again. Not one politician has spoken. Anyway, let's come here. Gentlemen, I raised the issue with Kriyat HaTorah, Simchas Torah, and I raised the issue, what did the Rav do? So first of all, I have to tell you that the Lumdis I told you last week, in the name of the Rav from Epnevi, what is the title of the Sefer? Epnevi Elmad, I'm not the Rabbi Blau Sefer. Anyway, Rabbi Blau Sefer, that way I'm safe. I found that Rav Heschel Shachter quotes exactly the same idea from the Rav. And you can look into Nefesh HaRav, page 138, and he says exactly the same thing, that once you open the Sefer Torah, once you open the Sefer Torah, then you have to read from it. And that's what he says in Nefesh HaRav. In Penine HaRav, he quotes another idea from the Rav, that the Rav felt that if you take the Torah out of the Aron Kodesh, it's a petichat hakovod for the Sefer Torah if you don't read from it. Not only that, and in this volume, Davening with the Rav, by Rabbi Mendy Gopin, and I have to thank my Talmud Rabbi Yeshua Grinstein. I looked into the volume under Simchas Torah. I found nothing. Rabbi Grinstein, my Talmud, got in touch with me. Look at page 20. We don't need Yitzhak Rubin. Here it is. On Simchas Torah night, the Rebbe allowed as much dancing and singing as we teenagers wanted. Boy, they're lucky I wasn't the rabbi. Hey, that's like I'm a litvak. I'm a terrible litvak. I apologize. I'm ashamed of myself. There was only one rule that we were to dance around, not on the bima, for it is the mizbeach where the shechina rested. The rav would take out the would take the first hakafa, but after one turn around the bima, would give the sefer Torah to someone else. He would then resume his place and watch the dancing and singing with a smile while answering any shilas that were presented. As if to emphasize his pleasure with the young people and their enthusiasm, he took the prerogative from the gabbai and personally gave out, if you're listening, the first five nighttime aliyahs to the young men who danced and sang the most. So, my dear students, what did the Rav do in Boston? The Rav lay in Simchas Torah night. How many aliyah did the Rav give out? Five. What does the Maaser Rav say about the Gra? He gave out three aliyahs. So, once again, we have a problem, but at least we know the Rav Leyen, like the Gra. Rakefet is knocked out of the box. You can yell from today to tomorrow, it's Brachot Levatola. You follow me, Shmuel? Who ever heard of a Tikkun to Leyen at night? Look at the Netziv, Yud Zayin, Meshav Dover, Chelek Aleph. Follow me, David? You can yell from today to tomorrow, but the Rav Leyen, but then again, we have a different question. Why five? Why not three like the Gong? I have no answer. We only hope that Gopin's description is correct. And if it is correct, so we're left with a shower. Fine. Gentlemen, it doesn't end. It doesn't. Hold on. It doesn't. Look, hold on. Give me a Yitzchak. You need an injection. You suffer from savlanitis. You never had that illness in America. But from the day you came on Aliyah and you learned the Hebrew word, savlanut, you have been overtaken. Do you drive safely or you also suffer from savlanitis when you drive? Let's not talk about driving in Israel. Let's thank God we're here. I stopped for a bus today. It's a narrow street. A bus can't go by. I pull over. In the middle, a motorcycle guy squeezes between me and the bus, overtakes me. God, life has no value. I want to quote the Bible. On the topic of Simchas Torah, I guarantee you Ephraim knows. There's only one book that was written. Toldot Chag Simchat Torah. By Avraham Ya'ari. He put out a number of classic volumes that Mossad Rav Kook prints time and again. I'm quoting from Toldot Chag Simchas Torah, Avraham Ya'ari, and you open up the Sefer, chapter 20, an entire chapter on Kriyat HaTorah, Leil Simchat Torah. And he gives you all the different in Chagim, what went on in every different Kehillah. And then he continues. And after teaching us all the different in Chagim, he goes to the Gra and quotes the Maaser Rav that Rakefet looked into when he started his whole search. And absolutely, you have to lay in. You have to give three aliyah, minach hagra. And on page 202, and he's quoting here, I checked it out because I have the Sefer of Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky. He's also in my library. And Rav Tukhachinsky, the man who created minach Yerushalayim, says, in all the batei kinesiyot, in Yerushalayim. I'm quoting word by word. Hanohagim k'minag hagra ein korim v'torah klal b'leil simchat Torah. And he doesn't give a reason. So my dear students, I was absolutely right. All the shuls in Yerushalayim, all the Ashkenazic shuls, not the Hasidic, but all the Ashkenazic shuls, no one reads the Torah, Simchas Torah night. 90% of the shuls will tell you they follow Minhag Hagra. No, if you follow Minhag Hagra, at least three aliyahs. Okay, we have a question on the Rav. Why did he have five aliyahs? The Groni had three. But okay, once you lay in, once you open the dam and the water starts pouring out, it's hard to stop it. But why don't they read the Torah in Yerushalayim? And these places boast their Minhag Hagra. And nevertheless, Minhag Hagra, Maaser Rav, the Rav in Boston, and they do not read the Torah. Okay, I have no answer. Let the issue hang fire. Moshe, research it one day. Meet an old-time Yerushalmi who's a Talmud Chacham. I don't know if anyone's left from that generation already. I would have asked Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I would have knocked on his door and asked him. But wow, interesting. Okay, Adkan. Does anyone want the material on Simchas Torah? Yitzchak, here, it's yours. Anyone want Shabbat b'Shabbato?
Yeah.
It's yours. Okay. Baruch Hashem. My dear friends, we have a big lecture today. Okay, but you see that? You never went into the Rav in Boston. You ran away to the Boston Rebbe. You knew what kind of Litvak are you? Why, you see that? You're disappointed. Too far to walk. All right, so Zayin Hazay. We have a big lecture today, but I'm telling you in advance what I'm going to do next week will shake you up because I'm going to throw everything overboard. But leave that for next week. Let us continue. Now, what do we see so far? That minhag is so important that in Dini Mamonot it establishes everything. Minhag Mavatel Halacha. And although I have to tell you, I have a student, Jack Levenstein, he's still troubled. Why did God spend Pashat Mishpatim giving us all these dinim mamonot, and you can throw it away in a minute? You say you make a Tanai, and I don't even have to, you know, Pashat Mishpatim, Shek Sutavi Onota Lo Tigara. It's an unbelievable thought that you can throw out the Sheh, you can throw out the Ksut. The Onah is Issa, you can't touch. I don't have any other answer than the answer I've told you, and it's the answer I see that everyone develops when it comes to monetary concepts. It is guidance. It is not obligatory. It is not ordinance. There's a difference between guidance and ordinance. No, theologically, you might want to ask a question. Well, then why did God give all these laws? And why did he make it guidance and not obligatory, not ordinance? And you can say very well, because when it comes to Dini Mamonot, a Jew has to live in endless different civilizations. And you need the ability to be able to survive in your civilization. And this is the source of Dinah de Malchuta Dinah. You don't need a better example of Dinah de Malchuta Dinah, where even Napoleon had to back down. You remember Napoleon, the Sanhedrin, 1807, 1808, the Council of Notables, then the Sanhedrin, and the questions Napoleon asked. And he would have liked the Jews to say that even in Issa v'Heta, if Napoleon's courts give a divorce, that divorce is legitimate, is binding. And the poor Jews had to double talk him. But ultimately what they answered him when it comes to Dini Mamonot, we are very good citizens of the wonderful French regime. Went to the Republic of France. And by the way, I don't know what you were taught about Napoleon, but he was not a tyrant. Napoleon really had a mission. He was, Napoleon had a mission. He believed he was civilizing the world. And he was a philo-Semite. He came to Jerusalem, and in French Hill, you remember his famous comment, that if I will win the Battle of the Nile, I will give the Jews permission to rebuild the third temple. And Baruch Hashem, I wish Obama would talk like that. Obama also said, Napoleon. Yeah, no, Napoleon had feeling, but he wanted to, you know, in his point of view, he was like the Maskilim. He wanted to civilize the Jew in conformity with their modern thinking. We'll deal with that tomorrow. We're going to deal with that tomorrow. So Napoleon gave them these 12 questions. I don't want to go into it now. I dealt with it in great length maybe a decade ago in the Monday class. And the Jew, Bal Kocha, had to answer to Napoleon's tune. But when it came to Yisveheta, these were great Rabbanim. You have to understand, the majority of the Sanhedrin were Talmidei Chachamim, Yireim V'Shleimim. And when it came to Yisveheta, they could not go along with him. They double-talked him. He knew they were double-talking him. But he advised his ministers, we've gotten as much as we can. Don't press them for anything else. Okay. So that's the way I would view Dini Mamonet. And I showed you last week the Chibbut of the Rashbash when it comes to Nal and Sandal. And he too asks our very questions. And he explains that Minig Yisrael, this is a Nal. And if you use a sandal, it's good. Jews have used it from time immemorial. And you cannot change the practice. This determines what the Torah is talking about, even though you're dealing here with Yisveheta, that if she doesn't get Yibum, if she doesn't get Chlitza done properly, she can't marry, she can't be married. So Chlitza has to be done properly, Yisveheta. But as the Rashbash says, this is a null. Then we went in, I showed you a number of places where already Rishonim, Achronim, Gedolei Yisrael use the expression Fukhazi. It's become a rabbinic aphorism. Many times if you read Rav Ovadia's Tshuvot, and I need not tell you that Rav Ovadia's Tshuvot, Daniel Lara, it's, if you want to know how to write a tshuva with sources in a classic sense, Rav Ovadia is the leading prime example of our generation. And again, you have to understand, Rav Ovadia functions on many levels. But the heart of Rav Ovadia, he is an unbelievable posek and a fabulous human being. His knowledge is second to none, and his humanity. I know him personally, I can tell you endless stories. There are other aspects of Rav Ovadia which we may have a little difficulty with. But you leave that in 1,000 years from now, they're not going to know the names of many of the Rabbanim in this generation. Rav Ovadia's name will be known, take my word. And all the narishkeit in his life with Shas and all that's gone on and some of his extreme statements will be long since gone and forgotten. That is what I'm predicting, and in 1,000 years from now, Steve, you tell me whether I'm right or wrong. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Let's be optimistic. Yaakov, Fukhazi becomes a rabbinic aphorism, and I showed you a number of examples. One example was the whole question of the salad, a very fascinating Gemara. Why is it forbidden to pickle cucumbers on Shabbos? Is it a toldah of ibud, of tanning? Or is it when you pickle 10 cucumbers, so you'll eat 2 on Shabbos, and 8 you're making for tomorrow? It's chachona, make Shabbos l'cholai, that's the machlokes rishonim. But basically, we learn it's a din of ibud. And nevertheless, we make salads, we sprinkle salt, we put on salad dressing. I mean, you don't realize what goes on in Israel. You didn't live here 44 years ago. You didn't come in Aliyah, and we did when we got off the boat. But I happened to be in one of the big stores today, Osherad. I looked at all the salad dressings available. It's beyond words. And I give them credit. They trust the OU. I saw not only do you have all the Israeli products with two echsherim, three echsherim, they yet had a lot of salad dressings that they imported with an OU. I call it kavod. They trust the OU on salad dressings. That is a level. But anyway, what do the acronym say? Don't start correcting your wife. But I better be careful in this day and age. It's not only the women who prepare the salads, the men prepare the salads. So don't start worrying about it. Fukazi, this is what people did. Now, then we had the fabulous example of the peat pat. And the Gemara I quoted to you, is the heart of that sukkah. You know, again, Jack Levinstein bothered me about the umbrella. Everyone bothers me about the umbrella. I told you, the Rav, we once bothered the Rav. So the Rav told us that there was a certain group of maskilim who live in Yerushalayim, and they went out of their way to open their umbrellas before Shabbos, and they would walk with an umbrella. There was an Erev in Yerushalayim, it's not the other cities. And he said, yeah, all right, technically, you're right. A case can be made that if you open the umbrella, it's an oil harai, it's not a permanent ohel. You can make a case. But anyway, halacha lemaisa, we don't use umbrellas in Shabbos. The machmirim, the shita hamachmira, won out. Nowadays, I can tell you, it's not a problem because I have rain clothes. The world has so developed the technique. I have rain. I bought a fisherman suit in 1962. Why did I buy a fisherman suit? Because my shul was about six blocks from my house. And when it rained in Maplewood, there were no big buildings. It's not like New York. You got soaked because the rain poured down. One time, I write in Washington, a car stopped and was pouring rain, offered me a lift. Then I found out the same thing happened. You read Rabbi Teitz's biography by his daughter, by Rivka Teitz Blau, that beautiful biography, Live, Learn, and Love Torah, if I'm quoting it, paraphrasing it. She writes the same thing happened to her father. Knew if you can stop a car and offer Rabbi Teitz a lift, Alachat Kama Vakama, you can stop a car and offer Rabbi Rothkopf a lift. So today we don't have a problem. I bought a fisherman's suit. You know how heavy it was? Today I have pants that I think runners wear in the rain. It is so light. I take it to the kotel with me when it looks like rain. Then they came out in Borough Park. I already got the third edition. It's unbelievable. You have a special Borough Park raincoat with room for a strimal. My wife had to take in the top because I don't wear a strimal yet. I may get there, but not yet. And today, you don't have to worry about the rain. But the shaila is a real shaila. And when it comes to a hat, could you imagine, Shalom, if you would answer a hat, all the black hats would disappear because the only ones that could wear black hats are those achsidim because they're samachan the Erev, right? They're samachan the Bet Ephraim. But the litvaken nebuch, according to the web of the Mishkanot Yaakov, according to the web of the Mishkanot Yaakov, you can't wear a black hat on Shabbos in Borough Park in Flatbush. There's no Erev in your eyes, you understand? So here too, I showed you the Azarua, we're dealing with Rishonim. I showed you the Azarua that Fukhazi, people wear hats with brims. This is not an ohel. This doesn't even get off the floor. It's not an umbrella. It's a brim of a hat. And don't have any pangs of conscience. You are allowed. And this has a lot of implications. I mean, I give you another example. Do you know that the Sfadik Chachamim would walk through the streets on Shabbos? You can still see it in Yerushalayim. Their heads are covered by their talis. And you'll notice sometimes they pull the talis forward not to see any sight that would disturb them on Shabbos. I don't know. In Yerushalayim, once in a while in my neighborhood, you're a car, the ignition. I know you who are raised in the Western world are not disturbed by that. To me, it hurts me every time a person turns the motor on. But okay, I'm from a different world, a different era. But I once said, Talmidim, are you disturbed? No, live and let live, you know. I live and let live. All right, Chabad has a good philosophy, but I love Chabad, but I'm not a Chabadnik. So the live and let live is beyond my comprehension. But But all right, if they couldn't carry, if that would be a no-hell, and they could, you're not allowed to do it, even where you can carry. It's nothing to do with carrying already. It's asiyat ohel. It's a terrible problem. For chazi, we are mekel. The final example I gave you, the underclass, menachat daf lamed hey, amid bet, with the tefillin. That, can you tie up the strap after the strap rips? And this is an interesting question. Nowadays, we're Baruch Hashem very wealthy. I don't think anyone would tie a strap. You go and you buy new straps. There's seifrim all over the place, United States, Canada, England, South Africa, Australia, Israel, Alachat, Kamavakama, in this very building when we, Marty Flummenbaum, well, I believe he was here, I may have studied with me earlier before we moved here in 76, in BMT, you know the name Flummenbaum? What name does it go? Moshe Flummenbaum today. Hasofer has a big geschäft on Rehov Strauss. No, today we're wealthy, but imagine where every penny counts and your strap rips. Can you sew it together? And the Gemara uses the word fukhazi maya, a madava. It's a machlekes, and yet the Gemara says, go out and see what people do. And here there's a very interesting machlekes. A machlekes, Rashi and Tosfat. Rashi says, lahachmir. Evidently in his times, the Jews were wealthy, the Jews were in wine. How many of you have studied my classmate, the Gon, HaGrach, Dr. Grach, whatever name you know him by, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik? How many of you have studied his book, Yenom? If you want to see genius accomplishment, open up Yenom. It is something else. So he shows you with maps that the Jews in Franco Germany, he shows you a map where they lived. Then he shows you a map where the wine was. And they literally lived where the wine was. And that was their business. And they did very well. So Rashi says, Fukhazi, no one would sew up a strap. His grandson differs with him and says, Fukhazi lahakel. And more than that, he says, in general, and you'll see the Rishon Lezion discuss this, whenever we say fukhazi, it means lahakel, not lahachmir. Interesting, interesting. In other words, the masses. Are we machmir or are we mekel? The masses. And remember, we're talking about the believing masses, the Jews who care. And this is a machlakas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. I would say Rabbeinu Tam seems to me more correct. Because whenever the Gemara talks about Fukhazi, the examples we just gave, inevitably they are lahakel or they are neutral. What do I mean by neutral? No, I just learned the Gemara in Bracha, Taf Mem Heya. The Gemara you always quote. It's fascinating when you're learning Shas, Al Haseda, to come across Gemaras and Gemaras that you quote all the time, and here you're seeing them in context. Simcha. What bracha do you make on water? Well, what's the chumra? What's the cooler? You follow me, Michael? But fukhazi there means it's neutral. People make a shahakol before and a burn of fashion afterwards. And Ephraim, that's what we do since time immemorial. But the other examples I gave you, a peaked hat, salting a salad, tying together tefillin, are all lahakel, where mekel. And the Jews are mekel, you can depend upon them. Okay, now, watch. Very fascinating. Let me go one step further. Until now, wherever we dealt with minhag, and what we're allowed to do, and isa v'heta, it's all in cases where there was machloket. But what about when we totally forgot the halakha? Total forgetfulness. Nobody, but nobody knows. What do you do? And here you see something amazing. I quote to you the Tosefta, the Gemara,
This means when there was no minog, or there was a minog and everyone forgot?
No, everyone forgot the halacha. The nohag, use the word nohag. By the way, you should know that Professor Elon differentiates between nohag and minhag. I mean, you go through it. It's not important for what we're doing, because we're trying to deal with how you pass in halacha. But he's very, very insightful. But they forgot. And of course, what is the case I'm talking about? It's the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samech, Vav, Amid, Aleph. And the Gemara in Pesachim, Tana Rabbanan, Halacha Zu, Nitalma, Bivnei, Bitera. And this is the famous story of how Hillel HaZaken becomes famous. Because Hillel HaZaken, you have to remember, was impoverished, had no money. Remember, he snuck up on the roof. He didn't have money to pay and to enter the Beis Medrash. And that itself is a question. Why did they charge people to enter the Beis Medrash? Nathaniel, have you ever dealt with that problem? I wanted to talk with you this morning. You totally slipped your mind, I see. Say that tomorrow is another morning. Okay? If the clears, I'm pressed. I have to daven Mara, I have to say Kaddish. Say that. It's the daven Mara. I always daven with a minion. So Kaddish is only a secondary factor. But tomorrow's another day. But I waited for you. I looked for you. But Vahare Necha Ve'enenu. Okay. Anyway. So why did they charge money? I'll tell you, I don't want to go into a whole pupil now, but it's very simple. It goes back to the Gemara in Brachot, when they deposed Rabbi Gamliel, right, in favor of Rabbi Yeshua, or Rabbi Yeshua had the big machloket with him, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, yeah, you know the Gemara. So they opened up the Beis Medrash, hundreds came in, and Rabbi Gamliel was very upset, and you know what the Gemara says, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave him a vision that these were just empty casks; they were worthless talmidim. So I'll tell you, it's psychological. It's very simple. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu privileged me to do some serious work for the absorption of Russian Jewry here, and one of the things I was involved with was Shvut Ami. Shvut Ami went into publishing books and translation in Russian. We are probably the biggest publisher in the world of books and translation, and we are certainly the biggest distributors, because we distribute, our catalog distributes not only what we publish, but anything that's within the realm of Torah with a very wide spectrum in Russian. So now the question is, you raise money, and people gave me money in my honor, whatever, my wife's honor. It covered the cost of the book. Do you give it out free, or do you charge? I'll give you an example. Rabbi Norman Lamb, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb's book, Hedge of Roses, which I consider the most important work that Rabbi Lamb has authored. You can agree or disagree, but that book, fabulous volume on Tarat Mishpacha. It's not on the laws, but on the whole concept behind it. It's based upon a shir that the Rav gave that I also heard as a kid, but Rabbi Lamb already was Rabbi Lamb. I was a kid when I heard it. Suga b'shoshanim, I can just see Rebbe, dramatic, speaking. Must have been mid-50s. And Rabbi Lamb walked away from that Yartzeit shir and wrote an entire little volume. And that book has been translated into Russian. We could give it away. But we always felt if we give away the books, the people will not take it seriously. You have to charge something. You don't charge full price, but you charge something so they know this is a serious matter. The same thing with the Beis Medrash. If you open it to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, all right, they come in for nothing, a lecture, come hind, come morgen, I'm coming, I'm not coming. But if you charge, oh boy, I'm paying money, I'm going to take it seriously. So it could be that this is why they had a price. If you want to come into the Beis Medrash, you have to pay your way. So Hillel HaZaken almost froze to death. He had no money, went up to the roof to hear the lecture. Shmaya v'Avtalion lay down and the snow fell on top of him. You all know the Gemara, I believe it's the Gemara in Shabbos, but the Gemara in Brachot, anyway, this is the Gemara in Pesachim. So they didn't know whether you bring a carbon Pesach on Shabbos when Shabbos is Erev Pesach. And they didn't know what to answer. The B'nai Meteira who were teaching and Hillel HaZaken knew the answer. You look into the Gemara, and then he got angry. And he told them off that this is your own fault and you haven't been Mishamis the Gedolei Yisrael and you didn't learn with Shema Yevav Talyom the way I did. And he went on, Doresh Kol Hayom Kulo Behilchat Pesach. But he told them off. He got angry. He washed their faces in mud. I'm paraphrasing the Gemara. He called them lazy people. Oh boy. Have you ever taught a class? Have you ever gotten upset? Have you ever unloaded on the class? Have you ever walked into class and your wife yelled at you when you left and you were in a bad mood? Or one of your kids told you off? Well, you know, a million and one things can go wrong. If you want to be a good Rebbe, Shalom, do you want to be a Rebbe? What do you want to do with your life? No?
Moshe.
Sorry, say that. I know why I said Shalom. Okay. So I had a spirit of Shalom. Yeah, Moshe. What'd you say?
Organizational psychology.
You sound like one of my grandsons is getting a degree in that this very year. Organizational psychology. Okay. Organizational psychology. You walk in and you tell off a class. It's not healthy. It's not good. You get angry. And then when you get angry, David, do I have it right? David Schwartz. Have you ever studied Musa? Have you met Reb Yisrael Salanta? Yes or no? Staten Island, does he ever show up there? Or it's a little weak? I don't know. No, when you get angry, so you know, you're getting upset already. So here, this is a very famous Gemara in the Musik world. This Gemara is quoted time and again that even Hillel HaZaken got angry and he forgot the halacha. What happened? They said to him, well, you're a great Rebbe, you know so much. You have to now become our head, our Rosh Yeshiva. Why? What happens if you forget to bring the knife before Shabbos? The lo hevi sakin meir of Shabbat. How do you slaughter the animal? What do you do on Shabbat? And Hillel had gotten angry. Omar lehem, halacha zu shamati v'shachachti. Wow, I forgot it. No one knows it now. Elahanach lahem li Yisrael. Im ein avim heim, b'nei nevim heim. Wow, what an answer. Let the Jews depend upon the Jews, their prophets. And if they're not prophets, they're the sons of prophets, the children of prophets. And their instinctive values will tell us what to do. Doesn't that bring you back to Gemara Nida? Daf Lamed? Remember the Gemara I quoted on Monday? Rabbi Weinberger quoted, and they walk on their heads, that the Malach taught you Kol HaTorah Kula. In other words, it's in you, the ability. There's something inborn. And that instinct you can depend upon. Now what I just read to you, Shalom, I just read the Gemara. Look at the Tosefta. Tosefta Psachim, Perek Revi, Halacha Bet. Omrulo, Ma Yehei, Al Ha'am, Shelo, Hiviu, Sakinim, Upsachim, Lamikdash. A slightly different girsa. They don't have their Sakin, they don't have the Korban there. Omrulahem. Listen to these words. Hanichulahem, Ruach Ha'am. Kodesh Aleichem. Wow. Yemei Neviim Heim, B'nei Neviim. And so what this means? Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. We're Jews. We're God's chosen people. There's something special about us. We can be proud. We live with Torah, with tradition, with responsibility. We're very different than the Western world. How many times has Rakefet said the New York Times couldn't care less about yesterday or tomorrow? It's only interested in the eye, the here, the now. A Jew, the eye, here, now is the least important factor in our lives. We're inspired by yesterday and we're planning and worried about what will be tomorrow. Wow. Hold on. And then the Gemara goes on. On Erev Shon Shabbos, whoever forgot, put the knife. Misha piskol plet tochevlo betzamaro gidi tochevlo ben kranav. And Hillel saw what they did, and Hillel said, Ra'amasa v'niskahalacha v'yoma kach mekublani meshmaya va'aftayon. What a concept. Wow. It's more than Fukhazi. Ruach HaKodesh, B'nai Nevi'im. A believing, practicing Jew. You can depend upon him. Okay. What a source. Overwhelming. The Gemara in Pesachim. Yes, Danny.
Could that explain the trend in value of those words? That's like Monodom after the fact?
That what? Martyrdom you're talking about? How many lectures I gave on martyrdom? Leave it, put it aside. Are you allowed to do martyrdom? What does martyrdom mean? Do you kill yourself as preventive suicide? You know what I'm talking about? You're talking about the Beis Yosef with the addendum there and that was added on afterwards with the Rav HaShoichet, the Rav HaMoneah. But anyway, what does this have to do with Lo Nevi'im B'nei Nevi'im?
There's a sense in scholarship that the Bible is justified, but it doesn't have sources earlier than Bible. So I think Abraham Gershman tries to develop where the idea came from. He doesn't suggest this type of concept.
I don't know what this is halacha. Do you have to give your life or don't you have to give your life? I dealt with this in great depth. I mean, I don't know. Professor Grossman is, we davened together for decades. I don't know exactly what he's trying to say. In other words, he's trying to justify Nevi'im, the Ram, the head. But this is a very delicate question. If they're telling you, you know, Bifneyam v'yeda, betoch kahal, then you have to give your life if they're telling you to bow down to an idol. But what about if they're about to capture the city and they're going to take the kids and raise them in a monastery? Do you slaughter the children? Do you slaughter yourself? Do you commit suicide? What about matzata? Was that good or bad? Okay, these are fabulous questions. But I wouldn't bring in Imlo Nevi'im B'nei Nevi'im. This is more in halacha l'maisa. Here you're dealing with a halachic question. And let me tell you, whenever there's a chance lahakel, not to kill someone, be makil. Take my word for it. And the Rav HaMoneah turned out to be absolutely right. The Rav HaShoichet turns into be a b'chiyah l'dorot. How many souls were lost? Let me tell you one. Let me just break the class with one little story. With your relative, what happened to us Friday night at the Kotel. See, you guys live in Yerushalayim, you don't take advantage of where you are. Friday night, it looked like rain. I thought, thousands, tens of them, big mobs. So we're waiting to Dab Mincha, and, you know, the elders of the Kotel already are assembled, and if Netanyahu would Dab with us, we could solve all his problems. And but it's not yet time to dab mincha. The minyan is getting together. So Bobby, that's Danny's relative, turns around and we see this nice man sitting there. And we say to him, he says to him, "Are you Jewish?" And the guy responds, I'm Danish." So Bobby and I both look up and say to him, "You can be Jewish and be Danish." So he says, "No, I'm not Jewish." So Bob says, why did you want me to? We said, "Well, we want you to join the quorum for prayer, but you can only do that if you're Jewish." He says, "No, how can I join?" So we start talking with this fellow. Both Bobby and I were in tears. He's from Denmark. his whole life, a man in his late 50s, perhaps early 60s, his whole life is devoted to raising money for Shiloh. That's the settlement he and his friends adopted. And he says every year he comes to Israel, it's the high point of his year, to be in Eretz Yisrael, to see the Jews, to see what they're building here, and they bring money to Shiloh. And he promised to see us a year from now. So you see, it all comes back to Rakepet's premise, you cannot teach hatred. Even among, you know, you say Denmark, this anti-Jewish feeling, Norway, Finland today. Nevertheless, all over, Holland, read Washington, the family Rhodius that I became friendly with from Amsterdam. Wow, they're good people in the world. Ah, gentlemen, let us honor our wives or ex-wives, whichever way you want to put it, Steve. Gentlemen. No, Minnie, go ahead.
You're talking about martyrdom. I just read something on the paper today, how there's a new little documentary about the martyrdom of the long story short, the grandfather of the Nazis were coming in, so the grandfather killed himself and didn't want the Nazi to kill him. Is that...
Look, we can be very proud that during the Holocaust there was a very small percentage of suicide, even though it was, I don't have to tell you what we went through. We were talking with that Danish guy at the Kotel, and you were there, you saw, you heard, you couldn't believe it. Could you believe it? And did I tell it right to the class?
Sure.
All right, I have an aid neman, Steve Bressler, aid echad neman b'Yisurim. Okay, and that's his cousin, Bobby. Gentlemen, let us give salute our women. Watch.
That's very nice when the Jews were
shown. I know that. I'll get
there.
Yaakov, Michael, do me a favor. Bring him to a Sablonitis doctor. He has no patience. Next week I'm going to go crazy. Relax. Let me teach. Let me build it up. Let me get there. When I get there, you're either going to say Rakepet's a genius or an idiot, but there's no in between. Wait till I show you the sources. Wow. What I came up with. But not yet. Now let me do honor to the feminine mystique. Bina Yitayra Ben Hashim. Okay. Gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. One of the most important minhagim that a woman has, and I told you the Lubavitcher Rebbe, hadlakat neirot Shabbat. Tell me, why do we light neirot Shabbat? No, it's a key of what? Kibud v'oneg, right? Shabbat, you don't want to be a cheapskate. You understand, during the week where we're cheap, turn off the light. By the way, these type of lights, if you're going to go in and out of the room within a half hour, don't turn them off. It costs more to turn on lights like this, to jump it. It costs more than if it burns for a half hour. So be aware, that's with fluorescence. Other lights, probably it's cheaper to turn off, turn on. I don't know, the new lights, is there anyone, a physicist here, can tell me? I don't know, the new type of the... What are these lights called? I don't even know. But they're fabulous. You know, they begin low and they warm up within a minute. Okay. So why do we turn on lights? We shouldn't sit in the darkness on Shabbat. Keep it v'oneg. In other words, Shabbat, we wear nice clothes. Shabbat, we eat good food. Shabbat is Shabbat. I don't have to tell you. We try our best to upgrade every standard of ours. As a matter of fact, based upon the Gemara and Shabbos, you know that the Rambam says in Hilchot Shabbos that you have to put on long clothes. You have to wear different clothes than you wear during the week. And the Rav, for many years in Boston, through into the early 40s or mid-40s, I believe, he wore a Prince Albert on Shabbos. He dressed very differently than he dressed during the week. All right, he Americanized, and at a certain point already, I guess they laughed at rabbis who walked around in a Prince Albert on Shabbos. But the Rav, that was the kiyum of the Rambam. All right, I try to lekayem it. I always wear a white shirt Shabbos. I see the new generation already wears blue. Blue has become a very attractive color here. Okay. So I want to ask you a question. What about in your house, lights are burning? Do you have to light candles for Shabbos? The lights are on already. And by the way, lighting candles, if you quote Rav Heschel Shechter, I saw Rav Bednesh was quoting Rav Shechter before. Rav Heschel holds that the lighting candles may even be a shayla of brachot levatala. That doesn't give you any light today. Lighting candles is a big concept when that was the only light they had. You lit candles, you lit kerosene, you lit oil, all right, you lit candles. Nowadays, who lights candles? I come home, my house is filled with electricity, filled with lights. I love light. Fabulous. Why candles? When candles? Yet women have the minhag. Rav Shechter would tell you it's better to turn the lights on in the living room, in the dining area, and then light candles and make a bracha. But if you light candles alone, he doesn't understand how you're allowed to make a bracha. And then this is interesting. It's also you go to a hotel. So they tell everyone to light candles in the foyer outside the dining area. No, what good are those candles? So you have to be makpid, you should know, before you go downstairs to light candles, leave on the lights that you're going to leave on in your hotel room. And so lo pashut, because in a hotel room, you don't want to leave lights on, you want to go to sleep. Some hotels that cater to a firm crowd have a time clock. But Rav Shechter has a very strong point. But I want to say, what is Minhag Yisrael? So Rabbeinu Tam describes Minhag Yisrael that lights were on, candles were burning. Women would come along, blow out the candles, and then relight them and make a bracha. No, what are you blowing them out for? You have the lights, they're on. Perhaps you can make a bracha without blowing them out. Perhaps you don't need a bracha at all. If the lights are on already, the kibbutz v'onig is there. Tell me, you have a sukkah. You're too lazy to take the schach off. The schach is on all year. Is that a good sukkah a year later? What do you have to do? You have to lift out the majority of the schach and put it down again. So you see, the women intuitively knew what they were doing. And I'll give you a beautiful source here. It's a very difficult sefer because we don't have a clear manuscript. It's a very important sefer. Sefer HaYosha L'Rabbeinu Tam. It's not in Tosfot. It's in Sefer HaYosha. And Sefer HaYosha, it's in the Chelek HaSheilot U'Tshuvot, because you have to know, in the Sefer HaYosha L'Rabbeinu Tam, there's one part that's Chidushim, and one part that is like She'ilot and Tshuvot. And I'm quoting, this is an offset. There's the Rosenthal edition is the classic edition of the Sefer HaYosha. I'm quoting from the Tshuvot, Siman Mem Chet, Tshuva Zayin. And he gets the following question, that if the candles were burning, why do women have to extinguish it and then light again? And the person asking him talks about kisui hadam. What's the halacha when you have to cover up the blood of an animal that you slaughtered? So if it's covered by the wind, you don't have to do it on your own. It's covered. It's done already. It's there. The same thing here. Why does she have to blow out the lights? Let the lights remain on. They're there. What need to blow out? What need to go through this whole ceremony if the whole purpose is for Kinnigot on Shabbos? The candles are burning. And Rabbeinu Tam answers, first of all, he compares it to sukkah. When it comes to sukkah, just what we said a minute ago, you can't just take a sukkah hayishana and just sit in it every year. You have to do something lichvot hachad to be machadesh the schach, and then you have a sukkah. And he says, this is why shenoshim shalanu minhag biyadam lechabot ulahadlik va'ani ra'iti be'enai. And Rabbeinu Tam is saying this. Listen to these words. And I saw with my own eyes, women are doing this. V'yashalam. And I asked them, why do you blow it out? V'toma kein. And they answered me, yes, this is our minig. This is the way our mothers did it. And look how he ends off the tshuva. The im'ein neviyot, b'nei neviyot hein. That if the women are not prophets, they are the daughters of prophets. Ah, who here has problems with feminism? Who here hears from his wife that the rabbis do not properly respect women? Please bring this Sefer HaYosha, this Rabbeinu Tam, to the attention of Shira Hadasha. Got it? Oh, wow. Moshe, what do you say? You have the guts to do it? Your life insurance paid up? Xerox copies of Rabbeinu Tam and hand it out next Shabbos after the prayer session.
Go first and then hand it out, or?
You can't daven there. You have to daven elsewhere. But after davening, you hand it out. That was once, I once asked that question, who's going to pay my life insurance? And that's in a different context. Let's go further. Gentlemen, you have arrived. We may solve a problem that haunts any Jew whose heart has a Torah heartbeat. What have we said so far? When it comes to Issa V'Chetah, when it comes to that part of Halakha, no minhag in the world can knock it out. And there's absolute agreement. Whenever we have a doubt, or we forgot the Halakha, that's when we can say Fuk Chazi, or we can say Imlo Neviyim B'nei Neviyim, Imlo Neviyot B'nei Neviyot. But otherwise, no minhag can interfere with Issa V'Chetah. It's not a hanshlag. It's not B'nei Mamonot. It's not saying on 47th Street Bracha V'Hatzlacha. It's fine. There is only one exception. There is a shita of the Rabad. Do you call him the Rabad? How do you refer to him, David? Ravid or Rabad? Believe me, when I started teaching in Israel in Michala in 71, the Israeli postgraduate class, and I said the Ravid, the girls corrected me to the Rabad. And until today, I have a lot of trouble saying the Ra'abad. So to save my soul, I will stick to the Ravid. Gentlemen, there is one shita of the Ravid. This shita, everything Rakefet said a minute ago is correct. Except when it's a din derabanan, an isha derabanan, a minhag, could knock out the Issa the Rabbanan. And let me give you the sources, and then we'll discuss it. And I'm going to show you an implication that will shake you up. What are we talking about? When do you give Trumat Maishrat? You take a fruit, and it is within the year that the fruit ripens. Tu Bishvat is a new year. Ripens before Tu Bishvat, you have to give it the year 2011-2012. Ripens after Tu Bishvat, 2012-2013. Right or wrong? Fine. Look into the Rambam. Hilchot Maisa, Perek Aleph, Halacha Tet. Hacharuvim, Eino Chayabim B'Ma'asrat, Ela B'Divreihem. What a Charuvim? St. John's bread. Baksa. What else?
Carobs.
They're very good. I can't eat them anymore, of course. They chop your teeth up when you get older.
So why are they good?
I used to love the taste when I was a kid. What can I tell you? Tu Bishvat was charuvim in America. You're not chayvin maisa. All right, the Rambam gives a reason. Lefi she'eino maichol rov adam. Because most people don't eat carobs, don't eat charuvim. There's a very small market for it. As a matter of fact, if you walk through Yerushalayim, you will constantly see charuvim on the streets. They fell off trees. No one picks them up. They just leave them there. Imagine if you'd walk through Yerushalayim and La Biur, apples would be on the floor. Peaches would be on the floor. Pomegranates would be on the floor. People would pick it up. People would eat it. People would make a bracha. But charuvim, it's interesting. That's the Rambam's reason. The Ravid here rips him apart and says it has nothing to do with the fact that people don't eat it. It has to do that it is not Tirosh V'Yitzah. That what is Chayav among fruits and Maisrit and Trumat, grapes and olives. Everything else is only Chayav the Rabbanan. But one thing is for sure here, that charuvim are only obligated in Trumat and Maisrat, midrabbanan, midivrayhem, not the Oraita. In general, we take off Trumat and Maisrat, off all fruits, but the real chiv, the Oraita, is on Yitzah, on Shemen, v'tirosh, on Yitzah, v'tirosh. Fine. Look into the Rambam Hilchot Maisa Sheni, Perik Aleph, Halacha Gimel, V'charuvin, Af al pi shechontu perutehim koldem chamisha asa b'shvat, mitasrim lahaba, hoel, umaisarehim, meidivrei sofren. Wow, the Rambam paskins lahalacha, even though the charuvim blossom before Tu Bishvat, but somehow the Trumat and Maisrat are only taken off on the next year, going against the halachic principle, because this is only a din de Rabbanan. And the Ravid here shoots him down with a machine gun. What kind of talk is this? How can a minhag knock out the nisa de Rabbanan? It's a din de Rabbanan, you have to take off Trumat and Maisrat. How can a minhag, which is against the din, the Ravid says, how can a minhag knock off a din de Rabbanan? And the Ravid here introduces a very interesting concept, that the minhag olam was, they don't run after baksa, they don't eat it so quickly, they don't grab it off the trees, they wait a while to eat it. Since it's only a din de Rabbanan, a minhag can knock out a din de Rabbanan. That is the famous hasaga of the rivet on Charuvim. Fascinating. Okay, interesting point. Shmuel, this rivet may solve the most difficult, complicated question that any Talmud Chacham faces in the last 150 years. I am teaching Torah, Baruch Hashem. This is my 54th year. I have been asked the following question 1,054 times minimum. Nathaniel, you know that in my office I have a little machine. You sit down on it, you punch in the year you want to be and where, you press a button, and a minute later, you are gone. You are there. All right? I want to go to Vilna, 1920. I'm in Vilna, coming into the finest homes of Gedolei Yisrael. Half their wives are walking around without their hair covered. I see, Ephraim, you read me already. Okay. The Rebbe hit a home run here? What do you say? Okay, give me a chance. Let me develop it. Half their wives are walking around with their hair uncovered. It's true. Rabbi Belkin once spoke in the yeshiva, and this very topic came up with Shmuel Belkin. And he said, we have to learn to get along with each other. He said, I grew up in Litha, some of the women, and I don't want to give you a list. I could give you a list, it's not important now, of Gedolei Yisrael, Gedolei Gedolim, who came to America, and their wives did not cover their hair. One famous Rosh Yeshiva, shall remain nameless, finally in the 70s, she covered her hair in her old age. And the Talmidim in that yeshiva, it was not YU, all the Talmidim said, yeah, the Rosh Yeshiva's wife covers her hair when she started losing it and went down in looks. Suddenly, her hair is covered. No, you have to ask a question. It's not only in Litha, there were parts of Poland, Dumgarusha, they covered their hair. The Yekis, they covered their hair. I remember, I write about it in Washington. I was riding on the subway, I was in high school, and I already was a matmid at that time, and I knew every minute has to be used to learn, and I would go through Mishnah Brewer on the subway. And here I am holding a Mishnah Brewer, and a man gets on next to me in Washington Heights, and he's looking over my shoulder, and he says to me, you can read that print? I say, yes. And he tells me his life story. He's a Yekki, he's a dentist, he's makpid in mitzvos. And his wife wears a shekel, and I was like in a state of shock. I didn't have one Rebbe at that time whose wife wore a shekel or covered her hair. Not one Rebbe. So you see, this is a tremendous question. But the question is even stronger. I mean, these are Gedolei Gedolim. How did they let their wives get away with it? How did they let their wives get away with it? Much has been written on this topic. A Sefer Mitzvot came out in New Haven in the 1920s by the Rav Horowitz. New Haven came as a big... The Rav held them to be bigger than Rav Moshe Feinstein. It was a certain issue which they argued. The Rav went with Rav Horowitz. He was an Adam Gadol. And he wrote on the Sefer Mitzvot, he has a long footnote, L'lamed Schut on the women whose wives didn't cover their hair. And I once spoke about this in class. It made the Sefer so popular. Everyone wanted, what is Rakefa talking about? They reprinted the Sefer. I have the copy from the second printing, and they told me, because of you, the family, its great-grandchildren, reprinted it because there was a demand for it. Evidently, they had the money. It was not a factor. They reprinted it. And, what wants the Shaila? There's a tremendous Shaila here. The Gemara in the Ketuvah, Tafayim Bet. Media writer here. I don't want to go through the Sugya, but you all should know the Sugya. That, what are you talking about? That a woman's covering her hair is only Dat Yehudit? It's the Oraita. What the Oraita? So the Gemara gives an answer. Anyway, You should know that Rav Horowitz and the Rav learned the same pshat in the Gemara's answer. That when the Gemara said, I heard this from Baron Lichtenstein, because he once pressed the Rav against the wall on this. And the Rav told him that when it says d'oraita, it doesn't mean it's a din d'oraita. It means that was the minhag, that a woman didn't go into the public thoroughfare without a harkavod at the time of d'oraita. But it depends upon local custom. Anyway, it's a tremendous question. Why didn't the Rabbanim tell them off? Why didn't the Rabbanim give Musa? And here you see the Ravid Shita comes to the fore. If you take the point of view that it's a derabbanan, not a d'oraita, then you can say a minhag can establish that they don't follow the letter of the law on this issue. And I want to make clear to you, whatever I'm saying is purely theory. It is not halacha l'maisa bizman hazer in the year 2014 when people walk around naked and all sex has lost value and understanding and the New York Times world has conquered the finest minds of the Torah world today. And the Haredi world suffers as well. It's not just our world. God have mercy on scandal after scandal after scandal. Hashem Yerachem. It's nothing to do with halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa, Baruch Hashem, my wife covers her hair, my daughters cover their hair, my granddaughters-in-law cover their hair. But halachically, this is a great show. If you would know, and I someone just gave all the names, I won't give the names. All right, I will not give the names. It's known the Rav's wife, all right, didn't cover her head. That was litter. But there are other names of from the black world, from the Haredi world, from the art scroll world. Their wives didn't cover their hair. But this could be that the Rabbanim didn't make an issue because they understood Midivrahim. You don't go to the barricades. There's a rivet. You didn't yell at the people. You're giving Shumat and Maestrat wrong. There may be another factor too. And that's, of course, based upon the whole sugi of Tochacha, that you don't give Hochacha if it's not written mafurish in the Torah. And since it was not written explicitly in the Torah, and we just derive it from Uparat Rosha, and you're going to give tochacha, and it's not going to be listened to. They're going to laugh at you. They're not going to accept it. So it could be that is another reason why they were silent. And
wait. So your assumption is that the Rebbeim, whose wives didn't cover their hair, thought it was wrong?
And they
didn't force them to cover their
how
hair?
How could they not? I believe it wasn't just the Rebbeim. It was Minhag HaMakom. It swept Lithuania, Gedolei Yisrael of the highest order. Their wives did them a whole favor. Well, hold on, Michael. Their wives did them a whole favor by covering their hair when they went to shul. You understand what I'm saying?
What are the peasants in Russia? My grandmother came.
Oh, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
Tell me,
they were Litvakim or Chassidim?
Russian, no, not Chassidim.
Say that you come from a wonderful
family. My grandmother also came from the
Hungarian is not a Shaila. They had their hair covered. I told you that a minute ago. The Hungarians and the Germans from Russia already, you come from good stock. And Michael, I can't believe the Rabbanim wouldn't have preferred their way. Listen, let me tell you a story. I don't want to go further. This is a rivet. It's an interesting rivet. It could be it's a peg on which to hang a hat. But I'll tell you a story that says it all, that we are ear witnesses to. A kid came to the Rav after Shia, a young man, and he says, Rebbe, I'm about to get engaged, but you know, my wife is discussing, should she cover her, shouldn't she cover her? And this was, you look, the 50s were the 50s. So the Rav said, no, she has to cover her hair. So another kid throws out to the Rav, another young rabbi says, Rebbe, how come your wife doesn't cover her hair? And the Rav says to him, ask her. Quote, end quote. Ask her. So that's it. You have a wife, you get your way all the time. You know what to ask, what not to ask. We all know our limits, what we can get, what we can't get.
Why would they rebel without their husband's permission?
No, the rebellion goes in and it, please. And nowadays, you can understand Chovevei Torah, that they criticize the OU for coming out against Obama, because we're all affected by the big world beyond us. We're living in two worlds. This was modernity. No woman covered her hair. You went into the, like he says, a peasant, they covered their hair. The farmers in Russia, the goyim, the Jews. But you came into high society?
Well, the Germans came here and took everything off.
Okay, but say that. Okay, anyway, I take the Ravid. It's an interesting peg. It could be together with Hochacha. We can understand why great Rabbanim had to swallow and couldn't yell and couldn't shout. It's a very fascinating Ravid. Okay, let me just go one step further. And this is, yeah. Okay, this is an unbelievable question. Tell me, how many of you have seen a get written? How many of you know the way a based in works? Okay. What is Chikur Hashema? What does that mean? Okay. When a get is written, the hardest part of a get is to know exactly the names. But you see, when you say names, look what you're dealing with. I just called my wife's aunt to express Nichum Avel. They're sitting shivering in America. My wife just lost her uncle, who's the last remnant of the generation above. You follow? The last blood relative of the generation above my wife, Uncle Bunny, Uncle Jack, an interesting individual. So when I called, I'm Malka's husband. They know Malka from childhood. They know her as Marlene. So I introduced myself. I don't know which name you know me by, Arnold, Aaron, or Aharon. Okay, Malchus, when I said Malchus husband, it registered. Now, how do you write a get? What names do you use? And this is the most important part of a get, because everything else is standard. A get has to be 12 lines. Get, take the gematria. Minig Yisrael, 12 lines. I don't tell you what possible if it wasn't 12 lines, but Minig Yisrael. A get, you know where the get is being written. You identify the city, you identify the rivers that are nearby to be sure you have the right city. You identify the date. All that is axiomatic. Or in modern, in rabbinic Hebrew, zil kri beit avo. It's every kid knows this. Ah, the names, that is the problem. What is your name? And what you have, there's kinui, there's nicknames, there are other names that are more than nicknames. What do you write in the get? So our minig is, and this is minig Yisrael, that we write in a get, the Hebrew name is the basic name, then we write the nicknames, then we write the other names you are known by. And this is the hardest part of writing a get. This is why in Yerushalayim, before they write a get, or in the Batei Dinim in Israel, there is what we call Chikur HaShemot. You have to bring relatives, they have to tell exactly what your name, your given name, the Hebrew name, the name when you're called to the Torah, the nicknames, and then they work out the form. This is why many Sfarim have been given, or have been written, on how you transliterate names. For instance, if someone is named Johnny, as a nickname, Johnny, how do you write Johnny in Hebrew? It's not so simple. Steve is easier to write. How do you write J in Hebrew? These are real problems. And what do you do today, let's say Russians who went to America, who wind up having Hebrew names, Russian names, American names? What do you write? What about a name that he hasn't used in 20 years? It's an odd unto itself. This is why, for instance, Rabbi Heschel Schachter's father, Rabbi Dr. Melech Schachter, was an expert on writing names in Gittin. There was a Rabbi Back, Benjamin Back, Zeicher Tzadik Levracha, one of the earliest Talmidim of the Rav. He studied with the Rav in Boston in the late 30s when the Rav had a kollel in Boston that Rothkopf writes about and Bernard Revel already and writes, of course, and Rakefik writes about it in the Rav, etc. So there was a kollel in Boston. He was one of the Rav's earliest Talmidim. He wrote a sefer on Shemot. Rav Henkin in Eidat Yisrael has an entire kuntris how to write Shemot into Gittin. This is not an easy matter. So imagine if you could take the easy way out and you write Chaim Yankel, the son of Shlemel Zalman, and all the nicknames and all the other names that he's known by or people call him. You don't have to write it out. You just write the basic name, which of course is the Hebrew name, and you just say in general, V'kol kinui sheyeshlo, V'kol ma shehu nikra. Would it be a good get? And this is exactly the machloket with Rabbeinu Tam, and the minhag that existed, and you find this entire, it's a very fascinating topic. If you want to go into Gittin, it is in the, I'll tell you in a second where to find it, the Mordechai in back of Gemara Gittin, Daf Zion Amid Bet, page 14, in the Shiltei Giborim. The Shiltei Giborim is a commentary on the Mordechai, written. I can give you the exact author, Rabbi Yeshua Boaz, who was an Italian. He wrote the commentary on the Mordechai. And in the Vilna Shas, you can find it on page Zion Amid Bet in the Shiltei Giborim, subdivision Aleph. And he's dealing here, it's a long Shiltei Giborim that gives you all the insight on how to write a get, what the problems are. And he quotes a tshuva of Rabbeinu Tam to Rabbi Yosef Meolins. And they were, this was relatives writing to each other. And he and Rabbi Yosef wrote in the get that the katabo ploni, the mitrayer ploni, the amash anigo reng las al gitten harishonim, shalona hagulich tov rak plonium kol shum vahaniche de itle. Rabbi Yosef Meolins is writing to Rabbeinu Tam, why are you makpid to spell out all the names? If by spelling out all the names, you are motzi laz on Gittin in my neighborhood, where they simply wrote the basic name and alluded to the fact he may have nicknames and other names. And motzi laz al get is a terrible isa. As a matter of fact, you all know what, you know what motzi laz al get means, that the woman remarries and a year later you put up pasquilis, you put up placatum, I don't know how to say it in English, all over Meir Sharim, my former wife is an adulteress, the get I gave her was no good, two letters are missing, she went and remarried, the children are mamzerim, motzi laz al get. What is our minhag? No, what happens right after a get is given? The get is given, the woman takes the get, the beitin then takes the get from the woman, and they take scissors and cut the get. Sefer kritut, they parcel the get. That way no one can say the get is no good, the beitin parceled it. We know it's no good. What does the woman get? She gets a ketav p'tuah, an official letter from the beitin, that on this and this day before this and this beitin, this and this man gave this and this woman a get, and we are aided, and the woman harei him uteret l'chol hadam chutz mei kohen, and the woman is permitted to marry any man she wants except for a Kohen. So Rabbi Yosef writes to Rabbeinu Tam, how are you makpid to write out all the names if you're motzi laz? It's going against our minhag. And here Rabbeinu Tam tells him off that this is your minhag. And I don't know if this is the first time. It's a famous quote. Rabbi Avadya quotes this many times. Minhag zegehenim lemafreya im shaitim nagu chachamim lo nahagu. No, transpose the words minhag. What do you get? Gehenim, hell. A minhag cannot change basic halacha. This is isa v'heta. What you're doing is foolishness. Sages would not act like this. And a minhag like this is ta'ut gadol. And you are making a terrible mistake. And Rabbeinu Tam, the Shute Giborim, tells off Rabbi Yosef Meyolins. And once again, when it comes to Isa Veheta, you cannot take the easy way out. Minhag lo mevatel halacha. And Gitman and Tul today are written with the names spelled out. In my case, Aaron Yitzchak, Arnold Edward, Arnie, Aaron, everything would have to appear in a get. It is not a ketuvah. People make a big mistake, and that's what Rabbi Heschel Schlachter was referring to with that very unfortunate comment, which was taken out of context. But when they asked Rav Heschel, can a woman write a ketuvah? He said, even a monkey can't. What he was trying to say was that the writing of a ketuvah is a maisa kof. You don't need a lishmo, lishma, lishem gerushin. It's not like a get. A get has to be written lishem the yisha, lishem the baal, lishem gerushin. A ketuvah, you can take one off a monkey's back if it's printed. The lashon, you need. That's a ketuvah. What's the big deal? You follow the difference? But it was taken out of context. You see, you have to explain yourself. He took for granted everyone would understand if he says even a monkey could write a ketuvah. He was paraphrasing the rabbinic concept of ma'aseh kof. Okay, so look what we have seen so far.
Is there a minhag in Eretz Israel to not compel a husband to give a get? The rabbis. So strict, and your daughter and all the others have terrible lives because of that.
Yitzhak, my daughter will get you before the right Dayan, and you will get the get very quickly. You don't have to worry. You have to know who the Dayan is. There's a process going on. You didn't hear Akefet's talk on Chok Tal. He gave a talk. He gave it a few times, but it's different. There are two talks. The first one was given in Lawrence, and the second one was given after the Siyum Shas in Flatbush. It's on the YU website. It's worth your while listening to those two talks and see what that dummy Rakefet did with the Siyum Shas. No one hit that insight. Listen to it. You'll see there the thought I developed. It took how many years after RJJ arrived in America to have a Siyum Shas with 92,000 people, 7 minutes by car away from where RJJ got off the boat in Hoboken? So here too, you're developing a new rabbinate. Give it a chance, new circumstances. Otan gevedet bishinui aderet. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf lamed ched, da v'chachamav. Okay, give it a chance. Not all the Dayanim are so bad. They just threw an animal into jail. You have women who they've thrown into jail or threatened to. They should accept the get. You're dealing with human beings. Most human beings are decent, are nice. But they're human beings. What are we saying, davening every morning? The Ribbono Shel Olam should save us from a bad incident. Ben shehu bebrit, ben she. And my father always used to be, couldn't believe Jews could be so cruel. But this is the reality. Gentlemen, let me summarize next week. Let's see, do I reach it next week? Next week, let's see. I reach it. Next week, the Sunday class is 36,000 year. What's the highest currency today? The euro?
Sterling.
36,000 sterling to the IOU list. You got it, Moshe? 36 grand. Don't be afraid. Gentlemen, let me reiterate. What do we do today? Imlona v'yihimim b'nei neviyim. That's a powerful Gemara. Ruach HaKodesh, the Tosefta says. Seifa Yasha, our women know what they're doing. Kala Kavod. By the way, Minig Yisrael today is that the man sets up the candelabra and the woman lights it, like in the Beis Hamikdash. You take part in the Avoda. At least I've seen that written, and it's my pleasure. I always set up the candles and then put it out. Baruch Hashem, I know what I have to do. Erev Shabbat, it's on my work list. I have a work list. I show all my grandchildren. I say, look at the way Saba works, because you should know when anything goes wrong, it goes wrong Erev Shabbat. Anything that goes wrong, it's the root. What's it? Rube Goldberg or
Murphy's Law,
it always goes wrong Erev Shabbos. So I can tell you endless stories. But if you have a list, you're organized, you can get the house ready very quickly for Shabbos. I showed you the Rabbad, which is a Shita Dechuya, but nevertheless, a Din Derabbanan, and even in Isvecheta, a Minna can have some say. And I was Melamed Skut, I pulled it out of the hat to be Melamed Skut on the wives of Gedolei Yisrael, who did not cover their hair. Of course, art school, and they publish the pictures, they brush in tichels, they brush in sleeves. But I can't do that. For you. To build Yiddishkeit, you have to be honest. Rabbeinu Tam, the minhag with the gittin. Before I give out the freebies, I just want to say, tomorrow is on the house. Why is tomorrow on the house? Tomorrow, Danny, is the reason I teach. YU pays me very little. All right, Baruch Hashem. We don't have secretaries here. I'm lost here in a building that at times you're ashamed to walk in. It's so filthy and dirty. The walls need another paint job. But the big advantage of teaching is when something is bothering the Rebbe, he can let off steam. Tomorrow I'm dealing with three areas. And everything I'm saying, I will stand on it that I am reflecting my Rebbe, Moriu Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. I'm dealing with modern orthodoxy in the big Western world, how it reflects on feminism, homosexuality, etc., our relationship with the Haredi world. I have to begin 9 sharp. I know it's, you guys say Bahab, I'm at a minion where they abolished Bahab, as I told you 50 years ago, they voted it off the map. It's a frum minion, but Bahab is not Bahab, all the other minyanim, 5 more minyanim in the shul, or 4 more, I don't even know, said 4 more, all say Bahab, but the 530 minion does not say Bahab. And I don't know, I could give you a list of tzaddikim who daven at that minion. Bring breakfast to class. We begin at 9, bring a caterer, bring schnapps, bring whatever you want. I'll teach. Gentlemen, until we meet again in health and happiness, das v'danya. Thank you very, very much. Yitzchak, this is for you, 1 second. Let it, don't take that. Guys want when I'm giving out long distance. Abe Cohn, anyone interested in, this is en route, this was my classmate, Professor Abe Cohn from Toronto, writes on Yibum in Sefer Rut compared to Yibum in the Torah. Very fascinating. This is the adult education at Boca Raton. It is unbelievable what that shul can do in 1 year. I'm blown away. And this is Kol Hamavasa, which I don't even know what it is, but put out by YU students. And it has a fabulous article on the Munkat Shavrav, what happened with his son, which I spoke about once in class. That's why the article was sent to me. Until we meet again in health and happiness, das v'danya.
Read the article.